everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is so ably engineering and producing my show. I'm very blessed to have Mr. Allen on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, March 29th, 2017, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening. That means if you're near a computer, you can hear our program on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, kvoi.com. And if you miss a portion of the program, or if you'd like to just listen on a regular basis through podcasts, we've got all of our programs archived really over the last 6 years that we've been doing the program. Again, that's at buckmastershow.com. It is an interactive talkback program. That means you're always welcome to join in at 790-2040. During the first half hour, we will be talking with half of Arizona's border sheriffs. There are four of them. We will be talking with two. One is with me in studio. He's Mark Napier. Sheriff Napier, how are you?
Very well, Bill. It's good to be with you again.
Thank you.
You're a good friend.
Thank you very much. Sheriff Napier was elected Pima County Sheriff last November. He was sworn into office in early January. Joining us telephonically is 73-year-old Tony Estrada. Tony has been the Santa Cruz County Sheriff since 1993. He is the longest serving sheriff in this state of Arizona. Tony, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you very much. The latest news, President Trump says he wants to cut $18 billion in domestic program to get going on the border wall. Sheriff Estrada, you've been pretty outspoken about a wall not being necessary. Tell us why.
Well, you know, his idea is ludicrous to start with. But, you know, we've got about 1,000 Border Patrol agents in this small county. We're the smallest county bordering with Mexico here in Arizona. We have the biggest population, obviously, on the Mexican side. The only thing that divides us is a fence, a wall, barbed wire. At some places, there's nothing there. And places where you can't build a wall. And places where even if you do build a wall, you know, people will find a way to come across it. It's not the answer. It's not the solution. But obviously, our current president made some promises, and people believed him. Now he's got to keep some of those promises. But I do believe he's going to run into some major obstacles in trying to do that. Now, he promised to build a big, beautiful wall all across the border with Mexico. Of course, that's going to be impossible and obviously too expensive to even attempt to do that. But, you know, they believed him at that time. Now he's got to sell the product that he was, proposing to these people. I do believe he will build something to accommodate, you know, some of the people that believed in him. But I don't believe that he's going to be able to accomplish what he promised. And I don't think it's the answer to the problem with illegal immigration or drugs coming across the border.
Sheriff Napier, what do you think?
Well, I agree with my friend Sheriff Estrada that it's not practical. It's a great soundbite. It's great political rhetoric to imagine a wall going, you know, the full expanse of the international border with Mexico. It's just not feasible for a lot of the reasons Sheriff Estrada mentioned. There's places where the topography or other features, whether it be environmental features, Native American reservations, there are a lot of places where building a wall as we traditionally think about a wall is just nonsensical. And I think it will not happen. It's also going to be just astronomically expensive. They've thrown out a figure of $1 billion for 62 miles. I had to morbidly do the math. That's about $3,500 a foot. You know, for a wall, it's just terrifically expensive. And there are places where we should have human resources and technology on the border to make sure that bad actors are not coming across the border. And we can do it much lower cost point with greater effectiveness. I know that my friends on the Border Patrol are very convinced that there will be a wall built, and they think it will go from California all the way to New Mexico. I just don't see that as being practical right now.
Sheriff Estrada, you've seen a lot of border fencing programs in your time, 24 years as sheriff. Kind of give us an overview of how they've gone over the years.
Well, just to give you a little bit of history, I was born in Nogales, Sonora, Mexico, immigrated when I was about a year old. with the family. At that time, of course, we've always had a fence. We've always had something that divides both communities and both countries here. But that's all it was, just a fence. People would come across without any problems. Most people would get a local crossing card very easy. Or there would be gaps. There would be gaps in the fence all along the urban area between the ports of entry, and people would cross through those gaps. We had probably a handful of Border Patrol agents at that time. They really weren't concerned about that because people would come over and shop most of the time. The merchants in the downtown area were happy to see them come over to do some shopping and purchase some goods over here. And, of course, the biggest problem that we had at that time because of those gaps and the fact that nobody was really looking at the fence and people coming across illegally, the problem that we had in the urban area with the police department, and I worked for 25 years there, is that people would come across through those gaps, and obviously they would shoplift, or they break into cars, or they break into homes, or they break into buildings at night at some of the businesses downtown. That was a cross-border crime that we were experiencing way back then, prior to 1995, in the 60s, 70s, and so forth. The majority of the people that were being arrested and detained in the local jails and the county jails were Mexican nationals, both legal and illegal. That's what we had at that time. So, you know, about 1995, all of that started changing. We started seeing more people coming across. The drugs have been coming across for decades. That hasn't stopped at all. But 1995 was a crucial, critical year, I think, here in Santa Cruz County because, yes, we were seeing more people come across. I don't know if they were being displaced on the maquiladora plants or it was NAFTA that kicked in 1994. But there were certain factors, maybe the peso devaluation, a combination of things that were sending more people into the United States. And people were being displaced in Nogales, Sonora. All of a sudden, some of these people were coming across. Some of them were actually rushing the car lanes and coming through. We had a black eye as far as Nogales, the downtown area was. They were telling tourists, don't come down, it's dangerous, and it was. We were having some major issues. Well, 1995, we started seeing more Border Patrol agents coming in. We had less than 100 at that time. Now we got 1,000. They have more agents come in, more technology, more sensor, more floodlights. They started putting agents all along the urban area and the downtown area. So that cross-border crime that the city was experiencing, it almost vanished completely. Previously had 50, 60, 70% Mexican nationals in jail, both legal and illegal, and that dropped to practically nothing. But anyway, as a result of all that attention that was put in the border, 1995 is when they erected, I think, the first actually border wall. And what it was ugly aircraft landing mats of metal. And I used to refer to it as an iron curtain because all of a sudden you couldn't see your neighbors across the line. It was difficult. It was dangerous for law enforcement and everybody else. Well, eventually they got rid of that. But during that time in 1995, because of all that security, because of that iron curtain that was placed in the downtown area, the cartels started digging underneath. 1995 was the first drug tunnel that was discovered here in Nogales, two blocks away from the Dennis De Cassini port of entry at an old abandoned church not next to a Burger King right now.
And since then, Sheriff, there's been, what, 30 at least underground?
Oh, no.
Huh?
No.
No,
over
more?
110.
110. Wow. Sheriff, we've got a Robert has been holding. I want to get another caller in here. Robert, go ahead. You're with the sheriffs of Santa Cruz County and Pima County.
Yes, Mexicans love to tunnel. Hey, sheriffs, in addition to presenting how silly this is, in addition to topography, you may want to remind folks that there's such a thing as animal migration and the exchange of water that comes and goes through that border. So it would absolutely not be practical for the ecosystem as well.
No, you're 100% correct. There is other environmental conditions that preclude the traditional wall. Certainly the Tohono O'odham Indian Reservation, they've been clear. They're not going to allow a wall. Now, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric going back and forth. Well, we'll just build it. What are you going to do about it? Well, let's go back to the Native American reservation is a sovereign nation, and I don't think that we should bridge that. I think there needs to be more thoughtful discussion about how to integrate technology and human resources. The Santa Cruz flows north. It's one of the few rivers in the United States that just flows north. And there is animal migration cross-border. So there's a lot of reasons that there are places where simply a traditional wall does not make good public policy sense.
Sheriff Estrada?
Yes.
I hated to cut you off there because you were giving us history. We'd kind of gotten up to the mid-90s, but I was quickly running out of time on this segment. Why don't we take our break right here, and Sheriff Estrada, please stick around, and Sheriff Napier also, and we'll have another segment with the two of you. But right now, it's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez, plus last-minute tax tips and how to stay well during this peak allergy season. Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live listening, podcasts, and our archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. We have Santa Cruz County Sheriff Tony Estrada with us on the live line, and Mark Napier, a Pima County Sheriff, is with me in studio. Sheriff Napier, how can you take on an extra load to take some of the responsibility to help out the federal people here concerning immigration laws? Do you have enough manpower to do that?
No, Bill, we certainly do not have the resources to adopt what is a federal law enforcement responsibility. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't cooperate with them or we don't value our relationship with our federal partners, because we do. And we do work cooperatively with them. But there's a difference between cooperating and adopting the responsibilities that should be those of the federal government. I have about 500 sworn deputies to police an area of 9,200 square miles. I don't have excess capacity there. So it's not feasible for us to engage in proactive immigration enforcement. And neither, as a matter of public policy, is it a good place for us to be. We need people to come to us as victims and witnesses of crime without fear of overzealous enforcement of federal immigration law. If a woman is battered by her husband, but she's not in this country with proper documentation, should she be afraid to contact law enforcement for protection? If somebody witnesses a bank robbery in which your daughter were killed, would you not want them to come forward as a witness to that crime rather than to, you know, sulk into the shadows as a fear of deportation?
Sheriff Estrada, how is your relationship with the feds? You've certainly got a tremendous number of Border Patrol people right there in your jurisdiction.
Well, definitely. I think the relationship with the feds have improved tremendously over the years. Obviously, starting in my career, I could see that there were some major problems. The feds would not pay attention to you, would not help you, would not cooperate on anything. That has changed over the decades. Right now, we have great cooperation, especially with Border Patrol and the people working the ports as well. So, you know, the relationship is good. We do cooperate. We do assist. We do participate in a federal program, which is the Stone Garden program, and that provides additional personnel from my department to our eyes and ears for Border Patrol, not to do immigration work, not to detain people, not to arrest people, but just to be a deterrent more than anything else. And it helps us because it puts more people out on the road. Now, I only have 38 commission officers, including myself, with 1,200 square miles in this county, being the smallest, and 50 miles of border. So with 1,000 Border Patrol agents, there's very little we can do. What we can be very helpful is we have a lot of history. We know the culture. We know the people. We know the language, and that can be very helpful.
Let's go to the live line again. Ingrid has called us. Hey, Ingrid.
Hi. Gentlemen, in addition to the to land animal migrations not being being a good reason to not build a solid wall, there's also the issue of change in politics between two countries. And I'm looking for the time when we will no longer have people coming, say, to the Duval Auditorium of the University of Arizona saying it's our intention to Hispanize the entire Western Hemisphere. It would be so nice for that kind of talk to stop and to improve relationships between nations at this time, Mexico and the United States.
Okay.
Yeah, Ingrid, I couldn't agree more. Mexico is not our enemy. In fact, they're a valued trading partner. Transnational trade brings about $9 billion into the Arizona economy every year, and we export about $9 billion back into Mexico. Mexico is not our enemy. The Mexican people are not our enemy. If you go to any of our shopping malls around Christmas time, you'll see dozens upon dozens of Sonoran plates, Sinaloa, Mexico plates. We have a valuable relationship with our Mexican partners, and we don't want to interrupt that. What we do want to do is focus our efforts on bad actors. There are bad and dangerous people coming through our border, and we need to separate apples from oranges. And heated political rhetoric will never do that for us.
Sheriff Estrada there in Nogales, you are so dependent on the cross-border trade. I'm just curious, Sheriff, what are you hearing since this a lot of this rhetoric about perhaps anti-Mexican rhetoric? Is that impacting shopping, cross-border trade?
It definitely is, and there's a couple of factors as well. One of them is that people are, you know, a little concerned. They're not sure what's going to happen. They're afraid. Why? Because our current president is unpredictable. You never know what orders he's going to give and what orders are going to be followed. It has hurt the economy. The consumers are not coming across as they were before. Obviously, there's some tension. There's a major concern. And yes, the consumer from Mexico, especially from Nogales, Sonora, is the one that comes over and pays the sales tax here, and that helps the city. And that helps the county as well. So it is impacting that. One of the things I told Secretary Kelly when he was here, like the sheriff mentioned, that Mexico is our friend. Mexico is our ally. And when Donald Trump said that Mexicans were rapists and smugglers, you know, I took it personal because he's talking about our people, and I know that that's not the case. If you're going to talk about rapists and smugglers, you can look all over the world. And you'll find people like that. So I think that was a label that was unfair with a friendly nation. One of the things I wanted to mention, too, is that I think as a nation, we took our eye off of Mexico for too long. We were looking all over the world for trouble, and we ignored Mexico, a friendly little nation. All of a sudden, we started seeing the cartels get involved. We started seeing all these problems of poverty, people coming across. So I think once we did that and ignored our friendly neighbor, we started having problems.
Sheriff Napier?
No, I couldn't agree with my friend Sheriff Estrada anymore on that. And if you look at international policy, he's correct. We have focused our efforts on relief efforts and outreach efforts all over the world. And here, well, just across the street, quite literally from my friend Sheriff Estrada, is another country. A mere 60 miles from where we sit is another country that we've largely not paid any attention to. And, you know, we talk about cooperation a lot. And I think the one thing that we have going for us in the state of Arizona right now is that the four border sheriffs, I have the greatest respect for my peer sheriff, Sheriff Estrada, Sheriff Wilmot, and Sheriff Daniels over in Cochise County. We get along well. We are an asset, and that's what I said to Secretary Kelly. We're an asset to this pursuit. Leverage this relationship. Leverage this cooperation that you have four sheriffs who are willing to cooperate with one another, respect each other greatly. That's an asset to this public safety issue in its entirety.
What was your message, Sheriff Estrada, when you met with the Secretary, Mr. Kelly, recently?
Well, the thing that I mentioned right now, that Mexico is our ally, and we should be helping them instead of trying to do the damage that we're trying to do by help, you know, hurting through NAFTA and the international trade that we have. One of the things I told him is you need to obviously talk to Border Patrol. You know, they're the experts on what they need to do to be more effective. However, I said, you know, besides boots on the ground and all the technology that you have already, maybe you need to have some more. But one of the things that I did mention to him, I said, what you do need, if you're going to put personnel, put them at the ports of entry, because they don't have enough personnel. They're not vetting people the way they should. Drugs that are coming across there, people that are coming across making false claims or presenting false documents. You know, a lot of people are coming through the ports of entry. A lot of the drugs are coming through the ports of entry. So, you know, when you start thinking about building a wall and doing all these things against Mexico, you really need to do something at the ports of entry because they're overburdened right now. You've got over 1,000 tractor, semi-tractor trailers that are coming across during the produce season every day. Every one of them an opportunity to bring drugs across. It's impossible for the officers there to, you know, to vet each and every one of them. So they need more personnel there at the ports of entry. They need to look at Mexico as a friend and see what they can do to help them to keep people in Mexico instead of having them come over here as a necessity.
All right. We have a caller who's been on hold. Craig is with us. Craig, you wanted to, you were concerned about a particular quote from the president. Go ahead.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Sheriff Estrada, I just heard you repeat what we've heard repeated over and over again. Donald Trump, the media took it and twisted it and said Donald Trump called all the Mexicans drug cartel and all the Mexicans rapists. If you look at that quote in the context that was given, he was talking about the things that were coming across the border illegally. He wasn't talking about all Mexicans, like you just repeated what's been out on the airwaves and the TV,
okay,
and everybody just accusing him. And it just, I just wanted to make sure that it's still going on, and I wanted to get that corrected. The context was, okay, he was talking not about the Mexican people.
All right, Craig, we always welcome callers here to give their opinion. Sheriff, do you want to quickly respond to Craig's call?
Well, you know, I can see it was obviously where he's coming from, but, you know, he wasn't just talking about the people that were coming across, because a lot of the people that are coming across are good, hardworking, you know, honest people, mm-hmm, in a sense, and they have strong family units, you know, they're religious. So, you know, when he talked about everybody that's coming across as being that, I think that was a bad label to put on them. And besides that, you know, it's no longer Mexicans that are coming across. They're coming from Central America and everywhere else. So, you know, at one point, I know even when Senate Bill 1070 was put in here in Arizona, they targeted Mexicans as the only group of people that were coming across the border, and that wasn't fair. So,
all right.
I think I'm not saying that I'm defending any people. People should come across the border legally, but you know, that's a reality of things. People will continue to come because there's that necessity.
All right, Sheriff Estrada, thank you for spending some time with us. Appreciate it very much there in Nogales.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. Have a good day.
Thank you. And Sheriff Napier, happy birthday, my friend.
No, thank you, my friend. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
Celebrated your birthday actually officially yesterday, but it's your birthday week, so certainly we want to give our congratulations. Another year of life for you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back. Dr. Kelly Ward. She is running against Jeff Flake in the Republican primary for U.S. Senate next year. We'll talk to her right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. The Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by the 22nd Annual Silver City Blues Festival. Just a three-hour drive over to beautiful Silver City, New Mexico, the big weekend, Memorial Day weekend. It's a three-day event. It's very popular. The Ghost Town Blues Band from Memphis is going to be the headliner this year. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the full listing of the many recreation opportunities and great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's go now on the live line. Dr. Kelly Ward is with us, former state senator from Lake Havasu City, former U.S. Senate candidate last year against John McCain. Dr. Ward, how are you?
Hey, Bill. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Good to talk with you again. Let me ask you right off the bat, what did you take away from your unsuccessful run against John McCain that makes you optimistic about your recent announcement to go against Senator Jeff Flake?
You know, I learned a lot in that election. I learned the importance of building a good team, making sure that we have a statewide organization that can't be beat, and making sure that I raise enough money to be able to have the resources to get to the voters and get the voters to the polls when the time counts. Because, you know, remember, it was a four-way race. I was able to get 40% of that vote. We kept John McCain at 51%, so it's very doable, you know, this draining of the swamp that I think many, many people want to do. In 2018, we'll be able to do that with Jeff Flake. And I've got to be able to get my people out during early voting, because that's where I was unable to be successful. On Election Day, if we just had one day of election in Arizona, we'd have a new U.S. senator, because I got the majority of the votes in that four-way race on Election Day. But early voting, John McCain had the people, the money, the machine to be able to get those early voters and get their ballots to the polls, and I wasn't able to. So we're not going to let that happen come 2018.
And you actually did win outside of Maricopa and Pima counties, correct?
Yes. I won 5 of 15 counties, and you have to think that's something pretty spectacular, because no Republican has beaten John McCain ever in Arizona. You know, and so you know, I'm pretty proud of what we were able to accomplish. And you know, as a relative political novice, so I'm a physician, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm definitely not a politician. But as somebody who with that limited knowledge of the inside, definitely I am not in the global tuxedo club. I'm not one of the good old boys. I was able to perform amazingly well, and now I have the skills and the abilities, campaign-wise, to be able to win come 2018.
Well, you were outspent, I believe, at a rate of about 10-1.
Yes, John McCain spent and his super PAC, you know, the Arizona Grassroots Action PAC that has nothing really to do with Arizona or grassroots, was his attack PAC, and together they spent over $10 million to keep John McCain, 80-year-old John McCain, who will be 86 when his term is up, in Washington, D.C. You know, I don't see that as the future of the Republican Party and the future of our country. I think that we need new up-and-comers, people with the competence, the capability, the qualifications to go to Washington, D.C., to get a job done, and then to pass the torch to the next generation, so that we don't have people who are there for decade after decade after decade.
Now, you've been all in on President Trump, and Senator Flake has, quite frankly, not been all in. Is this going to be a big difference between the two of you?
You know, I think that that Senator Flake has proven himself to be a never-Trumper, both before the election, you know, when Donald Trump was our nominee, because he went on, I believe, on NPR and stated that he voted for Evan McMullen, and after the election as well, he's been looking for things to attack Donald Trump, looking for ways to attack his policy proposals, and not supporting him on things like Obamacare and the repeal of Obamacare. Jeff Flake says that there's just not the appetite to repeal Obamacare in the Senate. Well, I think it's Jeff Flake's job as our senator from Arizona to make the Senate hungry for repeal of Obamacare. And you know he's a big open borders amnesty guy. Within a couple of weeks of getting into the Senate, he joined the Gang of Eight and voted for the amnesty bill. Those aren't things that people in Arizona are looking for. And really, he's been AWOL from the state. Most people tell me they haven't ever seen him or he doesn't show up at their events. Now, he is making appointments with our legislators. Well, he isn't, but his people are. One of the former lobbyists for SRP now works for Jeff Flake and has been trying to meet with our legislators to give them an update about the Senate. And what I've been hearing is that they're really surprised because they haven't seen him for 5 years. And they know. They see the pandering. They understand that it's an election year, and now he wants to pretend that he wants to work with them to help the constituents that we both serve.
Well, we were talking about how you were outspent at a rate of about 10 to 1. Well, how about Senator Flake? He's going to throw a lot of money at this deal.
He is, but, you know, he's starting out at a much different point than John McCain did. You know, John McCain had millions in the bank whenever the election started. At the last count, now we are getting ready for the end of a financial period here now, but at the end of December, he really had, I think, a little under $600,000 in the bank. Comparable senators have millions in the bank. Mm. So he's actually bringing in the big guns, the big GOP establishment big guns. Another never-Trumper, unfortunately, President George W. Bush. He's going to have him come in next month and try to raise money. Actually, they're asking for that money to come in before March 30th because they want to have money in the bank at the end of this quarter as well. I think that we've shown that we don't want another Bush. We don't want the Bush policies. We don't want the globalist, big government, Republican in name only type Republicans. That's why we got Donald Trump as our president. And Donald Trump needs people who are small government, who will support the policies to secure the border, to stimulate the economy, to make sure that our economy grows, to put things right for our veterans, to repeal Obamacare. All of those things that Donald Trump wants to do from the executive side need people on the legislative side, and that's why he needs Kelly Ward as our senator from Arizona.
So we were talking about how you are very strong in the rural areas in the race against Senator McCain. So you obviously know you've got your homework ahead of you. Certainly Maricopa and Pima have to be top priorities for you in getting your word out, correct?
Definitely, definitely. And actually, I'm coming down to Pima County tonight. I'm going to be speaking to the Pima County Tea Party Patriots. Talking about the health care bill, what was good in it, what was bad in it, why did it fail, what really happened there, and answering questions. We're going to be in Oro Valley. We're going to be at 1305 West Naranja Drive at the library there. So it's at the Oro Valley Library. I'd love to see people come out, ask questions. You know, people are begging Jeff Flake to have a town hall, begging him to present himself before his constituents, not before people that he picks and chooses to answer questions from. And so I'm going to be there, and I will be answering questions. I will be having a great discussion, I think, about things that are very important to the people, not only in Pima County, but across the state of Arizona and across the country.
I've got about a minute left. Dr. Kelly Ward is with us. As a physician, were you disappointed that there was no health care solution last week?
You know, I think that for 7 years we've been promised full repeal. And unfortunately, the establishment Republicans, the leadership, did not offer a full repeal bill. And the Freedom Caucus had to stand up and say, no, this is not what we promised. This is not what we ran on. We have to actually deliver deliver, be men and women of our words on full repeal. I don't think that getting rid of Obamacare is over. I think we're going to continue to fight for that, but we're going to fight for full repeal. You have to remember that more government is not the solution for problems that big government created. So, I mean, I'd love to see people come out tonight, but also join me if you can't come to the event at KellyWard.com, Kelly with an I, because I am a conservative champion for We the People. I would love to interact with you. I'd love for you to become donors. I need money because I do have to fight against that machine. So there's a lot that we can do if we truly want to drain the swamp.
And what is your area of medical expertise, Kelly?
I'm a family physician, okay. Owned my own practice for a decade, and now currently just to keep my medical mind sharp, doing emergency department shifts periodically.
All right. Thank you very much. Dr. Kelly Ward with us on The Buckmaster Show. Thank you very much, Senator Ward.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Kelly Ward running against U.S. Senator Jeff Flake. Next up on The Buckmaster Show, my goodness, speaking of medical care, have you checked out these numbers on the rising trend of medical errors nationwide? That's our topic next. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of The Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by my friends over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com for all of your gardening needs. Also, when you go to the Green Things site there at 3384 East River Road on 13 acres, I know you will be very impressed. The selection is amazing. Also, they've got a great workshop coming up Friday afternoon about irrigation, I believe the topic is. But you can go to the website. The free workshops are Friday afternoons at 1 and Saturday morning at 10. Lots of folks concerned about the rising trend of medical errors nationwide. Joining us on the live line, Dr. Lawrence Schlachter, a board-certified neurosurgeon, attorney, and author of a recently published book titled Malpractice, A Neurosurgeon Reveals How Our Healthcare System Puts Patients at Risk. Dr. Schlachter is with us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Doctor, how are you?
Fine. Doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. How concerned should we be about what seems to be a rising trend of medical mistakes?
Well, I think this trend of medical mistakes actually is not rising. It's been present for as long as we know. It's just that finally, because of computers and ability to look at things, we finally realize how bad it really is. So what we've got essentially is a patient safety epidemic going on in the United States where the third leading cause of death is medical errors and medical mistakes. Now, I should also tell you and your viewers that in addition to being a board-certified neurosurgeon, I'm also an attorney. So I'm seeing this from all different angles, in addition to the study that came out of Johns Hopkins earlier this year.
And that study, I believe, revealed that 7 out of 10 doctors would not inform their patient if they had made a medical error while providing them with care. That is really a concern.
Yes, it is. I call it transparency. It means to inform the victim something happened to them. And accountability, where a system needs to be devised where mistakes are investigated. The equivalent of injury here is the equivalent of 2 747s crashing every day in America. Mm. Imagine what the NTSB would do with one crash instead of 700 crashes. And why don't we have the same system in our medical system where when a bad crash or a bad mistake is made, that there's not a thorough investigation that leads to some action that will help prevent it from occurring in the future, whether it's within the system of delivery, whether it's an individual failure, whether it's a technical problem. I mean, we're sorely lacking in that regard. And so that's why I wrote this book. To start a conversation about this.
Is it across the board? I know we had a recent case up in Phoenix where a jury awarded $2.5 million to a military veteran who is now terminally ill with cancer, all because a medical error prevented a possible life-saving diagnosis from occurring. Is this happening in all platforms of medicine in this country?
Unfortunately, it is. In my law practice, I'm getting calls every day about stuff like this, and it's rather shocking. And I personally, you know, I'm 68 years old now. I'm not looking to build my business by bringing this up. I'm trying to start a conversation about patient safety where patients, when they go to the doctor, are not intimidated to ask questions, where they ask the doctor, you know, why are you doing this? What did the test show? One of the biggest things in terms of mistakes are tests that are done that are not followed up on in a timely fashion.
Hmm.
You know, it's not okay to discover a problem that then takes your life or paralyzes you, and then for them to find out about it 3 days later because someone made a phone call or look, you know, I see a lot of that. That's really shocking.
And what can we do? What can we do as patients? It sounds like you're saying, hey, you got to be your best consumer advocate yourself when you're dealing in the medical community.
Yeah, you do. You know, sometimes patients are sick. They can't think clearly. They're anxious. And so they need a friend. They need a family member or a friend. And if a physician is not willing to allow for a second opinion or to discuss something in a normal way when an intelligent question is asked, one should think about getting another doctor, because then there's a problem going on.
Mm-hmm.
I like to put it like, you know, we've all had children, grandchildren, or relatives that are young. A three-year-old asks a lot of questions like, why? How come? we need to ask those kinds of questions of our healthcare providers and get straight answers, not half answers, half truths, real answers.
I think part of the problem, doctor, has been that I think patients in many cases are intimidated by the whole medical system and the process. Would you agree there's a certain amount of that?
There's a lot of that. And a lot of patients are afraid to piss the doctor off, to question his authority, let's put it that way.
Right.
So in the airline industry, remember the Korean airliner that crashed in San Francisco a couple of years ago?
Oh, yeah.
You know, in that culture, everyone's afraid to question the captain, right?
Right.
So the accident board found that they need to change the culture in the cockpit, mm-hmm. which is to encourage questions. Well, it's really the same thing in medicine. You know, the patient needs to be encouraged, or family members need to be encouraged to question the doctor, or the hospital, or the nurse, or anybody that has an answer, because that's how bad things happen when no one asks why.
Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price, I understand he's a former colleague of yours.
Well, yes, we've known each other for about 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
When we were younger men in another century, we trained at the same institution at Emory University, where we were both surgical residents. And when we got out, we both practiced in the same hospital community, the same area of town. So, you know, we know each other very well. You know, we're not social friends, but we're definitely colleagues. And he's a very good doctor. Now, I take issue with him on policies. We don't see things quite the same way. But, you know, as a doctor, he's a very fine physician.
What is the first step, then, in your opinion, to turning things around?
Well, how do you turn things around in America when the parties are screaming and yelling at each other?
Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it?
Right. I mean, I think we have a dysfunctional political system that's created a dysfunctional health system.
Mm-hmm.
So Obamacare has a lot of good things in it. You know, things like you can keep your insurance if you change jobs. You can insure your kids up to 26. You can't be denied insurance if you're sick. I think those are actually very laudable and good things. Insuring people also who can't insure themselves is also a good thing. Now, the Republican substitute for this is going to be just as dysfunctional. When people were asked, is healthcare a right? You know, I haven't heard one politician yet say that mm-hmm. healthcare in America is a right. Mm-hmm. They all talk about access to the system.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't talk about how you get access, or what if you can't afford the access. So I think the present presentation that's coming through Congress, or didn't make it last week, or whatever they modify it to be, is going to be just as dysfunctional and in a different way. So the question is health care a right? And if it is, everyone needs to have some sort of coverage. So that creates a whole new conversation about, well, if health care is a right, who's going to pay for it, and how do you implement it? It's like trying to tackle an octopus. It's very hard. But I do think a system where everyone can get some sort of coverage, and then maybe those who can afford it pay for more coverage, would be a legitimate way to work this out.
Dr. Lauren Schlachter, thank you very much. Your book is available Amazon, I assume. The book titled Malpractice, A Neurosurgeon, Yes, Reveals How Our Healthcare System Puts Patients at Risk. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and I have a website, www.larryschlachter.com, where there's a four-minute video about the book to try to explain where it's going. I'm more interested in patient safety issues and reform than to argue about the present politics.
Okay. Dr. Schlachter, thank you very much, sir.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot. Care. All right. Coming up later today on the KVOI, Mic Check with Mike Shaw. I understand Councilman Steve Kasachek is on the schedule. He'll be talking about everything that is happening in the city. Also, Tucson Tea Party founder Trent Humphreys on the failure to repeal and replace, speaking of what we were just speaking about, the healthcare situation. That's Mic Check with Mike Shaw, and Ray Allen will be ably assisting Mike in the program. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9, then it's Talking Culture here from 9 to 10, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. We have on the schedule Ramon Valadez, Pima County Supervisor, Mark Sneller, allergist, good tips on trying to avoid this bad allergy system, Mike Flowers, last-minute tax tips. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.